We're going back to Leviticus, Rick's favorite book.
For an extended thing or just a...
Yes, we're going to finish the offering.
Were we done the law of clean animals yet?
Leviticus 4. Doug, read Leviticus 4:1-5:13.
Hard to read.
Just the Bible was larger.
Okay. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he hath sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head, and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood, and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood, and sprinkle of the blood 7 times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation. And shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the 2 kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. As it was taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of the peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering. And the skin of the bullock, with all his flesh, and with his head, and with his legs, and his inwards, and his dung, even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp into a clean place, where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire, where the ashes are poured out shall he be burnt. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and a thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall bring of the bullock's blood to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood, and sprinkle it 7 times before the Lord, even before the veil. And he shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar, which is before the Lord, that is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offerings, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take all his fat from him, and burn it upon the altar. And he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering. So shall he do with this. And the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. And he shall carry forth the bullock without the camp, and burn him as he burned the first bullock. It is a sin offering for the congregation. When a ruler hath sinned, and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord his God concerning things which should not be done, and is guilty, or if his sin, wherein he hath sinned, come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, the kid of the goats, a male without blemish. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat, and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of the burnt offering, and shall pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering. and he shall burn all his fat upon the altar, as the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, as concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. And if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty, or if his sin, which he hath sinned, come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he hath sinned. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. And the priest shall take of the blood thereof with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. He shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat is taken away from off the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. And if he bring a lamb for a sin offering, he shall bring it a female without blemish. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay it for a sin offering in the place where they kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of the peace offerings. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he hath committed, and it shall be forgiven him. How far in 5?
13.
And if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing, and is a witness, whether he hath seen it or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of unclean cattle, or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and if it be hidden from him, he shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, he shall be guilty. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips, to do evil, or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. And it shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin which he has sinned, a female of the flock, a lamb, or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass, which he hath committed, 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons unto the Lord, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off his head from his neck, but he shall not divide it asunder. And he shall sprinkle the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering. And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering according to the manner. And the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin, which he has sinned, and it shall be forgiven. But if he be not able to bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, then he that sinned shall bring his offering the 10th part of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. He shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense thereon, for it is a sin offering. Then shall he bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take his handful of it, even a memorial thereof, and burn it on the altar according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as touching his sin that he has sinned in one of these, and it shall be forgiven him. And the remnant shall be the priest. Need offer.
Well,
so what does it mean?
I know that you all are going to be happy to hear this.
That means he knows that we
are. See how easy I am?
You're easy.
But we have a guest teacher tonight that's going to teach us the meaning of all of this.
You gonna be in the spirit?
Now, one of us, one of the people has been studying in Leviticus, and they're gonna teach on it. So, Rick, will you?
Big joke, huh?
Well, if we could go back to War One. Oh, man.
Probably Jeff.
Oh, man. You are so easy. Is Rick's heart down to his feet?
Oh, God.
No, Rick pissed me off the other day because I said, and I've said it before, that, you know, when you can see all of everything in here, all of the offerings and everything, they're parables. And when you see that, then the Leviticus explodes with meaning. And so Rick gives his testimony of reading Leviticus, and he comes up with all, I forget what you said, but it really pissed me off, and I remembered it while we were reading it.
While we were reading.
Well, Leviticus is awful. I mean, there's nothing. I can't understand it. It's nothing. I mean, it is a parable.
It explodes with dullness.
Yeah, it explodes with dullness. That's exactly right. It's the most boring and omnipresent book I've ever done.
Well, for a tiny bit of a review, we're studying the sin offering. What do you say?
You don't want to know.
Well, there goes another one of those words. I've got to explain that here.
One of the reasons that you can't understand Leviticus is that Leviticus can't be understood while you're in the world.
So that sure makes me feel a little better.
Remember in Egypt, if you read the book of Genesis and the first half of the book of Exodus, you'll see that there's burnt offerings and there's peace offerings by all of the fathers, but there's never a sin offering, a trespass offering in Egypt. And that's because there's no sin in Egypt. There's only idolatry. Because you can't worship God in Egypt. You understand that? In the world knows nothing about God. The world knows a lot about gods. So you can't worship God by his definition. God doesn't care what you think you're doing. You can come before him in tears and in sweetness and so sincere. And he doesn't even see you. You can get born again 15 times. You can make that walk down that aisle for Jesus till hell freezes over. And he doesn't even see you. Understand? The only place where you can worship God is when you leave Egypt. Now, and another deal, remember we've talked, why in hell does God care about virginity? Think that God gives a flip whether or not you fuck around or not? Do you really think that? I mean, you love to think it, because then those of you who can control your passions, you have righteousness against those who can't. Or those of you who are guilty of doing it in your mind, you gain righteousness by those who really do it. There's one singular reason why God worships virginity and says it's important. Because the virginity, the hymen, represents the veil of flesh between soul and spirit. Understand? And so when that sperm cell is going, the act starts when at Passover. In one sense, wilderness represents the canal, and the border of the wilderness with the promised land represents the womb. And when that sperm cell has entered the womb, you can't even start the process till you leave Egypt. Otherwise, you just, you know, you're masturbating and getting sperm cells all over the world. But some of you know a great deal about. Am I communicating? Mm-hmm. So if there's no sin in Egypt, then what in the hell have you been doing judging the world? God doesn't. Either I'm either right on this, I'm either totally right or totally wrong. And you got to decide. Because this sounds kind of weird. What?
I got in trouble for saying that last night.
What? Well, when you say it, you better be able to back it up.
He got accused of judging the world.
Okay. So let's talk about then. God he knew exactly what he was doing. They got out of Egypt, and they come down here, and they confronted the law, and then where there is no law, there is no transgression. Sin is not imputed where there is no law. The only reason that mankind likes to believe there's sin in the world, i.e. what men call, you know, acts or trespasses, even. There's no trespasses in the world. You understand that? Not only no sin in the world, there's no trespasses in the world. I mean, this is revolutionary.
Is that because there's no God in the world, or God, Jehovah's not in the world, but there are trespasses against your many gods?
No, Daryl had it better than anybody. Either not, you know, bananas, I said. Tell me what sin is. So everybody gave some subjective definition. I don't want to hear religion anymore from anybody. And Daryl's definition of sin is when I get caught. Now, there's two ways to get caught. One is by someone else, or two is by yourself. You know, from a spiritual standpoint, that stuff isn't sin. That's just failed idolatry or failed Molech. Judy, you're looking weird.
I'm trying to understand what you're saying.
I don't know what he's saying, but it's better than Leviticus.
I don't know what he's saying. Better than Leviticus.
It is Leviticus.
Well, I mean, I understand, you know, breaking the hymen.
Okay, you understand. You all understand. If you could search high and low, night and day, in the book of Genesis, in the first half of the book of Exodus, and you could study the perfect Christian. You could study Abraham, who God said, emulate, be like him. Never once did he make a sin offering, or never once did he make a trespass offering. You can study Isaac, you can study Jacob, you can study Joseph, you can study Enoch. Never once was there a sin offering or a trespass offering made. There's burnt offerings. There's meat offerings. There's peace offerings. That sounds kind of weird. That's pretty important, it seems to me. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. Romans 4:15. Well, my God, then I don't have the right to feel guilty about anything. Yeah, we'll see. You see, God doesn't care about your subjective feelings about what is or is not sin. Every one of you, your definition of sin is based on some aspect of your life where you've been passed through the fires of Molech, and therefore you are regarding sin as different elevations. Well, that's a big sin, that's a little sin. That's an okay one, I can get by with that one. That one makes me feel bad. It makes me feel bad, but I can't stop doing it. You know, you got an endless litany of judging by your own subjective standards what sin or trespass is. You judge others and you judge yourself. And you love to judge yourself with regard to it, because as long as you have the right to judge yourself or your activity, your hunk of protoplasm can make believe it's alive. And you make great sounding confessions. And you get so sincere. You see, you can do that. We can do that when we're playing in the childish little child thingies, and we can do that when we're playing in the adolescent thingies. But you've just passed a new state. You've entered the young man state, so there's a new world, there's a new way of looking at everything. The way you look at everything now is you judge sin by a singular standard, and there is no such thing as a degree of sin. Now, a whole new ball game starting to happen to us. See, that's why we had to stop. We had to stop studying these offerings until I made it clear to you that you began to emotionalize what it meant that you are now in a young man position, because you have overcome the evil one. The word of God abideth continually in you, therefore you are strong. Now you can take stronger meat. Capisce? Your concepts of sin as a child is what brought you to the Father in the first place. Your concepts of sin as an adolescent, even all of your subjective bullshit, is what brought you to the point of being molded and chastised into the point where you can occupy the land. But now we got to start speaking the same thing God speaks. Everybody hearing?
Does that mean that there is no more sin?
Well, there
never really was.
There used to be
one of those egg.
You used to be, but by your very question.
Don't ask him.
Well, yeah,
you
brought
it into the world. At least you brought it back into the world.
Before Sinai, there's no law. Right? Sinai, our law is only post Sinai. But when you cross the border into the promise, sin is left behind.
Yeah.
So it only, I mean, it's only from Sinai to the border.
Right.
And we've already crossed the border.
Right.
Okay.
Now, the only thing that you can do now is you can go back out here.
Yeah, you're going to see caravan.
We don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that. Caravan. That's why Isaac never once left the promise. Remember? Remember when we studied 3-year cycle?
He never left the promised land.
Yeah,
he never, ever once left the promised land.
Right on,
that's why Christ only left the promised land when he was a little child. Hallelujah. Remember? Remember those strange little facts that we learned a long time ago?
Yeah, I don't know why he had to leave it all. I mean, why?
Because if he didn't leave, then you would have been in terrible shape, because then you could never have gone through this process.
Why didn't Isaac?
Because Isaac represented the completed promise. The child of the promise, hallelujah.
And Christ didn't leave, he was carried by his parents to save his life.
Now, remember we've talked about so often lately, you may read the book of Leviticus, or you may read about the tabernacle, and you may apprehend just a little teeny bit of it. Well, it's not going to affect whether or not, it's not going to affect whether or not, quote unquote, you're saved or not. The sufficiency of his work and his life certainly doesn't depend upon how much you can understand or apprehend. That wouldn't make any sense. But from a spiritual standpoint, experience means, and God wants you experienced, right? Experience means it's our measure of apprehension or comprehension of that which is already finished and completed by Christ. Understand that? Okay. So, the sufficiency of his work doesn't understand in how much we can comprehend. However, our satisfaction depends totally on how much we comprehend or how much we apprehend. It's because you apprehend so little that there's so little joy. It's because you apprehend so little that there's so little comfort. It's because you apprehend so little that there is so little peace. It's because you apprehend so little that you're still out there chasing your stupid idols in the world. It's because you apprehend so little that your peace is affected by how somebody looks at you. It's because you apprehend so little that you can be affected by how many dollars you have in your pocket. Hallelujah. Now let's apprehend. Aren't you tired of chasing idols? Well, I'm tired of chasing some of them, but some of them I kind of like. Well, I want to prove to you, I don't care how good you, how great, how wonderful your particular idol is, and your idol is nothing more than that which you are giving importance to today. I don't care how important, how good, how wonderful, how useful that idol is, I'm going to show you that it is stench. It is dung. Am I touching any of you? You know, I'll stop anytime you want me to.
I don't know what the world is anymore. It's just like, okay, there, in Egypt, there wasn't a sin offering, or anything like that, but there wasn't any sin in Egypt, that's what you're saying. But in the world, they're not sinning because they don't know God or whatever. Where does sin come in? I mean, why?
Where did sin come in?
Why is it necessary?
Sin came in when you heard the law.
But you heard the law before you left the world.
No, you didn't. You can't hear the law.
What did Adam and Eve do?
Huh?
What did Adam and Eve do?
But what did they do? They didn't believe.
No, they didn't sin. That wasn't sin. Was it idolatry?
Yeah.
Wasn't sin.
Well, again, don't play with definitions. Well, Adam and Eve, the Garden of Eden always is the type of the New Jerusalem. The Garden of Eden is simply it's the lower manifestation of the higher that's always the overriding reality. You understand that?
Mm-hmm. Kind of like a is that saying something facsimile?
It's a type. It's the best that it could be in the shadow. It's like we talked about last night. You know, I asked you, most of you have some vague idea of what heaven is or the promise is. You know, but if you begin to articulate it, you think, my God, I don't want to go there. That's boring. People used to, I can remember, I was 5 years old. I remember this as clear as day. It's the first time I got in trouble with this Lutheran priest. I was at this little Sunday school thingy, and this guy was describing heaven, and I said, that's boring. And a couple years later, or next year, after a whole year of that, this priest came to my mother and said, he can't come here anymore. He's an evil child. He's upsetting all the rest of the children. I mean, the description that you have in your mind of what heaven is, and you probably haven't thought about it because it's sort of vague imagery, but if you articulate it to yourself, you'd look and say, oh my God, that'd be terrible. That'd be boring. But most of you don't have the courage to articulate your dreams, because you're afraid they would be vanity. It's the same reason I don't want to go back to Norway. I'm afraid if I went to Norway, it would, you know, all I heard all my life was all these great little stories about Norway from my grandmother and my mother and my parents and my family. The beauty, the wonderfulness of the people, the beautifulness of the women. You know, that's probably, it's one of the few countries in the world I have never been to. Why? Same reason. I'm afraid if I went there, I'd hate it, and I wouldn't have any of that, you know, that little dealy wouldn't.
You know that if you went.
Well, I know if I went there. Shut up, Judy.
That's probably where your wife is waiting for you.
That's exactly why I'm not going.
She only has one tooth.
Did you ever ask if Norway was so bad? Why they leave?
No, but can you understand your images of what you think was, it will, you know, I don't care what you call it. Your promised land, you've got an image of it in your mind. Well, articulate the image. Have the courage to detail it. Well, it's got streets of gold and pearly gates. Well, that's kind of boring. What do you do? The only way you can ever understand the promise is you have to remove the active verb to do. And you have to replace it with to see. Then you can begin to understand the promise. Now, I didn't make it up. I mean, if you look in Romans or all over the scriptures, it says, in the world there is no sin. I mean, that's not my idea. I mean, I'd have done a whole lot of bunch of things different than God did. I'd have done them a whole lot better. Right.
So what did you say people out there are doing, Owen? They think
they're just failing, chasing idolatry.
They're dead.
Well, when they say all this is...
Well, they're dead. You know, that's why Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Most of you are chasing after dead. You're not just chasing dead, you're chasing ideas of dead. Now, have I shook you up enough to start to penetrate?
Well, I don't know if you penetrate. shook me up.
You understand that sin has no strength if there's no law? Mm-hmm. You understand that God sees you as a beast?
Like an animal.
Like that which comes out of an ass. That's what Jeremiah said.
Assholes.
Well, what about all my little ideas? What about all my little worries? What about all my little images? Well, you left them. If you didn't leave them, then you will be left behind. Remember this wisdom of Solomon? They were having an argument over the baby of whose it was. Solomon said, well, let's cut it in half. The wisdom of Solomon was to show forth the death of any other alternative except life. Now, my alternative to you from now on is, you don't like it, well, then go back. You're dead. I am not patient. All of you thought I was a patient person all these years. Well, I was, comparatively speaking. My response to, Harry and Barbara the other day, they were having this big fight. They were both out of the rest. They were, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, you got to leave. Where am I going to go? Well, from now on, that's you. I mean, you're going to be faced with either being cutting the baby in half or accepting life. I don't care what your problem is. I don't care how righteous you are about it. I don't care how... If you come to me for advice, which you eventually will, because you'll try every other avenue, and I'll say, Lee, you get the fuck out of here.
I knew I didn't stop by for a reason today. I was driving by and I thought, no, I don't think I will.
I mean, I'm serious. You've got to be confronted. That's what it means to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Hallelujah. Go back to the world. You're boring me. You've been given too much. Does that offend you? Good. You know, if it offends you, contend with me. So little, because our idolatry is so much in the way. I'm here to tell you folks, you either go totally chase your idolatry or you give it up now, tonight. To whom much has been given, much shall be required. God is requiring of you everything. The reason that you don't give up your idolatry is cowardice. Do you understand that? You're cowards. You're sneaky, little, hidden away, yellow belly cowards. God has set life before you in all its grandeur, and you choose death. Well, you cannot excuse it because you didn't know any better. See, that's the problem with hearing this stuff. Now, it's because it's the reason you have so little money is because you apprehend so little doctrine. The reason you have so little joy is because you apprehend so little of the finished work. The reason it has nothing to do with anything else. The promise of God is if you leave everything to follow Him, He'll give you houses and lands and children and families and anything you want for the asking. And with persecution. Well, so what? You're going to get persecution anyway. That's either true or you better forget it. If that isn't true, just forget it. Go do your stuff. Go play religion. Go back to Babylon. You know, Babylon's beautiful to the senses. It's one of the great wonders of the world. Go and sit down where you can have the great debates. You love to sit and muse over your talents and your projections. You love to see yourself in these great enterprises. Well, that's Babylon, folks. You either take no thought for your life, take no thought for the moral, take no thought. That's the promise. Are you in Babylon? Am I communicating a little bit? You don't see that the fact that you're permitting your mind to do that is the sin that crucified Christ. That's the sin offering because you've left the promise. It has nothing to do with what you're doing. It's the fact that you've left the promised land. Now let's pray with Paul. That I will apprehend totally that for which I have been apprehended by. Hallelujah. Amen. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
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 Yeah.
As you said that, I just saw something that because we've crossed over the border, the furthest you can go back is Sinai. You can't go back. You can't get past. You can't get to the point before Sinai. All there is that area of wandering around in the wilderness until you die.
Well, you know, because what you're trying to do in another sense is you're trying to become a virgin again.
It's either be in the promise or wander in the wilderness till you drop.
Yes, do you understand what it means when it says when you're trying to get back to the world, you're trying to become a virgin again? No, don't worry about it. I'll tell you later. Huh?
So to actually understand it. Sexually. You get the hymen right there. Comes through and the womb is in the promised land.
Okay. Now, you understand what the Antichrist always does. He's trying to get you to prove yourself holy. Prove yourself good by that which God gave us to prove us to be totally without hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you understand that?
Yeah. I recognize that. I recognize more what he's trying to do than what God's trying to do based on that kind of deal.
We're more familiar with Antichrist's
point of view.
I detect a disturbance in the force.
Denise is weird, I can tell
disturbance.
That.
Disturbance.
Definitely.
I think it's a
spoiler.
Yeah, no,
they are.
They
carry
it's like a man, so.
It's weird.
Maybe it's you.
Maybe
his will. It's a fusion reaction.
Well, I feel like I ask the same damn question every time. You know, we hear this thing, I get pushed back up against the wall, and well, what the hell is there to do? Why don't we apprehend? Why haven't we apprehended it? You know, what's wrong with the preaching? I mean, I'm sitting here, I listen all the time, I hear the best I can, I talk about the cross, I think things about the cross being the right way they're supposed to be. And I'm as fucked up as I've ever been. And so it just gets worse. It doesn't get better. And you'd probably say, oh good. Things are really working in you. And where is the apprehension? Why, you know, am I just dullard, hard-hearted, thick-headed? My wife would say yes.
She did say yes.
But what can I do about that? Shall I pray more, read more, study more, think less?
Then it gets down to something to do again. Instead of seeing.
Well.
And I think I've seen, and I've told other people I've seen. And I've told them stuff, but I, you know, still sit here like I don't understand and never did.
Well.
Me too.
You know, it's like the whole idea of it. Seeing is believing. If you see it, that's it. Well, I think with everything in me, I've seen. But I look at where I am and what I am and all this stuff, and all I can say is, well, God's doing a mighty work.
There's only one, for any of us, I'm going to make a blanket statement because what we've heard. Okay. There's only one thing that will keep us from hearing or get our ears full of wax at any given moment in time. Some have a propensity to give off more ear wax than others. There's only one thing, and that's idolatry. That you're chasing something in your mind, or you're there's a position in you that you have volitionally left the rest for. You understand?
Yeah.
Well, now the only thing I can make out of that is it's decision time. I mean, it's like
you have made
like
a decision.
Doing something.
You have made a decision.
Well, but then is that? Am I understanding right that then that although it has nothing to do, we have to do something to get away from that making that decision?
Again,
I never understand that either.
Okay, the decision point again is that's where we need to exhort one another. If you can make a decision, the world makes decisions all day. That's the way it operates.
So when you're talking, I try to think of any one thing like that, and I couldn't think of anything that had power over me except when those things I don't want to bring out in the open are those things that, you know, that I try and keep to myself. I can't imagine right off the bat those, you know, the idols that get me don't have anything to do with out there particularly as much as they do with images of in my head of what I'm trying to protect in me.
Well, it's both. I mean, both of it is. I mean, that's idolatry.
You can leave the rest for an inner peace or something. You think.
Well, can idolatry and this the thing that you're talking about? It can't stand in except if you keep it to yourself, right? I mean, openness somehow destroys that.
Well. It's
also discernment.
It's discerned by the scriptures say that we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Now the word of our and remember, always and ever, the testimony of Jesus. The word of our testimony isn't man, praise God, I used to be bad, now I'm good. The word of our testimony, according to Revelation, is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, bubbling forth. without regard to what's out there, bubbling forth. Whack, whack, whack.
It's like the two witnesses working together. Wisdom sees the vanity, and then prophecy wipes it.
Right.
So,
does that make any sense?
But I didn't answer the question, really. That's what I was just going to ask. Is that what you're saying is that the reason that you can't, you know, make decisions on getting back is because the only really thing that can happen is for you to see the end of it.
Well, the only thing that will happen, no, well, again, we have to look at what happened. The only thing that can happen is the plagues come.
Well, that brings me to the place then of asking, why do you tell people to leave? Why not exhort them instead?
Because I'm tired of that.
I was just wondering.
What's the giants in the land then?
Well, the giants in the land have to be seen, expressed. If they're internal, they're not giants, they're idolatry. The giants in the land, once you express them, there is nothing.
It's the seeing giants in the land was the same
thing
that they saw in Egypt. It's just in a new situation. They saw things as,
Hear me. As long as it's kept internalized, then it's a private affair. It's hidden adultery. If it's exposed, you tell it, and then it's exposed to the light, and that's nothing. Let's occupy. There's nothing any of you could say to me that would affect me, or God. He knows your thoughts from afar off. You think I'd judge you? Yeah, I probably would, but that's all right. You'd get over it.
Okay.
I mean, I just get really frustrated. It's a lot of what Gary was saying, but it's also, I never understood the sin offering when we were talking about it before. I never understood the trespass offering. I felt really retarded because it's like it wasn't connecting somehow. It wasn't, even intellectually, it wasn't happening. And, you talk about sin, I don't know what sin is. I have a little list of things I think are sin, but the things I think are sin are not what Josanna might think of as sin.
Well, that's the point. It doesn't matter what you think.
Well, yeah, I go, well, then I'm all wrong. Because, there's sin, and this is sin. And I just form my own little ideas of sin. And that's different from what this thing that's called sin is. And then it just breaks down. The whole machine breaks down. Makes any sense.
Well, again, I don't care. If you don't care?
Y'all don't care together.
I don't care if... I'll stay up 36 hours with any of you going over this stuff. I'm just not interested in your problems anymore.
I don't think that. I mean, when you say, get out of here, I don't want to hear it anymore, you don't want to hear it anymore, If I don't understand sin, that's it,
No.
No, I said to you, hear me, if you come to me with a problem, I'll say to you, just like Solomon did, here's the solution. Either... let's kill the baby. Now, if you say no, I'll talk to you till hell freezes over about the meaning of any of this stuff. I will talk to you at nothing or zero about the meaning of your little ideas and opinions. I'll stay up night and day until I can't stay up anymore with any of you, any time, to talk about, so that you might apprehend the fullness of this. I'll kick you out of the house in 5 seconds if you start talking about some bullshit. You understand?
Yeah. I just saw what you meant by the Wisdom of Solomon thing. It's like the one lady's idolatry was her right to this baby.
Man.
You know,
And you, when you push that to the end, it meant in that situation to cut the baby in two.
That's right.
So when you push your idolatry totally to the end, then it will mean, you know.
See, the wisdom of Solomon.
At that point, it becomes crystal clear what's.
The wisdom of Solomon has nothing to do with solving some problems in the world. And it doesn't matter what they are. It doesn't matter what your uniqueness is. The wisdom of Solomon says, see the alternative.
Jesus said he didn't come to arbitrate anybody's.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about your problems. Never have. I dealt with you differently a few years ago. And I mean, you know, I can remember that. You know, but I'm not, I mean, now I'm going to deal with you differently now. I don't care about your problems. I care about your apprehension. I mean, you got, now you can talk, there's all kinds of people you can talk to you about your problems.
Talk to John.
Harry loves to give advice. You can go see Harry. Well, I'm not saying it's bad.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. You can't even call him on the phone.
Am I communicating with you what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I have one concern, and that is your apprehension of the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's my only concern. Don't expect me to like you. It doesn't have anything to do with the finished work of Jesus Christ. Don't expect me to think your little unique stuff is important. It doesn't have anything to do with the finished work of Jesus Christ. Do you think it really matters whether I like you or not? Or do you think I really care whether you like me or not? I care whether you love me. And you should care whether I love you. That's two different, totally and completely different things.
Amen.
I'd do anything in the world for any of you except give breath to your idolatry. Believe me, the secrets, the deepest secrets of the mystery of the kingdom of God are locked in the book of Leviticus. Unto you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And the deepest secrets of the mystery of the kingdom of God are hidden in the book of Leviticus. But unto them that are without, all things are in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, that hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and I should heal them. God is not going to share his glory with flesh and blood. When are you going to finally hear that? Totally in, totally out. And you'll be, by the end of this series of going through Leviticus, sin will be so crystalline to you, it'll be black and white. And your detectors will be so carefully attuned that you'll have a readiness to revenge this Antichrist in your mind anytime you find him in disobedience. I told you long ago that rather than we're going into a large place, a place with no boundaries, but the path is getting narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower, and pretty soon, you can't even see the, I mean, it's, some neat, there's some really neat stuff. We haven't even started what I was going to talk about tonight, by the way. This was all the preamble. You've got to finally understand that sin is a person. It's not an act. You've got to understand that you have never once in your life ever been independent. What you have thought was your life all these years was either Satan himself disguised as you, or abandonment faith. You can't masquerade as an angel of light anymore. You got to run to the cross. You can't get righteousness by confession of confusion. You can't get righteousness by oh, I just don't understand this. You still don't understand. You think that you're going to get better. You're going to get abandoned or dead. Do you think do you think Ole Anthony understands the scriptures? No, I don't. When I'm in self, I read that shit and I say, oh my God, what does that mean? I could write great tomes about its meaning, you know, but it'd be as much bullshit as most of those other study Bibles you have. Do you think I sit around and memorize scriptures and stuff?
Yes.
No, I don't. Do you think I know what I'm going to say when I sit down here?
Definitely not.
What?
Definitely not.
I was just thinking while you're talking, one of the things that I find myself trying to do is comprehend God with my Antichrist convenience up here, and it doesn't work. My mind doesn't comprehend God.
Let me run some through things. That's right. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It cannot be subject to, it won't be subject to God. It can't be subject to God. Right. It's an enemy. Okay, sin is a person. Sin is Satan, the opposer, the opposite of God. Sin is always and ever self for self. Doesn't matter whether it's self for self, I'm going to get rich, or self for self, oh poor me. Understand that? Sin is self for self. Yeah, that's twice the child of hell. Sin is the illusion of separation from God. So therefore, sin is an act of the mind. Do you understand that? Sin is the lie that I am an independent self capable of good or bad actions. That one will get you. Sin is the one that's capable, thinks it's capable of understanding or not understanding. Of success or failure. Of praise or condemnation. Of good actions or bad actions. That's why it says it. It's snuck in there throughout. I don't know if you noticed it. You know, it says, do an oath, do good, or to do evil. Or in Isaiah it says, come now. You know, if you're going to do the play of this game, come on. Do good or do evil, that we may behold it together.
And be dismayed.
And be dismayed. Sin is the lie that I am capable of an independent action of any kind. Sin is the lie that there's a part of me that should be doing this or that. And I should be concerned with it. You have either been bought with a price and you're not your own in any dimension, or everything is a lie anyway. I mean, it's black and white. It's crystalline. Amen. Well, then why do you continue operating in the lie? You are perfect. You are complete in Him, as long as you see it. Now, well, then I start thinking about what I'm going to do tomorrow. What have you done? You've left the promise and you've gone to Egypt or gone to Babylon or gone to Greece or you probably went to Beirut, most of you, knowing most of you. You love the
Bangladesh.
Do you understand what I'm talking about a little bit? We are not independent selves. We are not capable of expressing anything.
You don't have anything that you didn't receive.
You have nothing that you didn't receive.
I mean, like creating something to express.
Anything. You don't have any talent. You don't have any not talent. You don't have anything.
Everything about you that you have been doing up till this point in your life has been a lie. Everything. Because in their heart, your heart of hearts, even if you hear this stuff, you'll go leave and you'll say, well, I got to do this about that. But you'd make it sound so neat because you do it and you make it sound righteous. That's until we get this straight, we are always trying to do something. We're trying to expect others to do something. In ourselves, in of ourselves, to please God, ourselves, or others. Now, a series of talks lately. And then last one.
Little talks.
Small atomic
fireside.
Whose side was on fire?
What?
Isn't that special?
And what it has been about is about trusting in oppression. And that there are arenas of your life, and him is in his case, where that's all he's known to do all his life is to trust in oppression. It's either to trust in oppression, and if you look, man, if you want to do a scripture search on trust in oppression, you get your eyes opened up. But to trust in oppression means that you trust in your ability to control someone else's actions or some other series of things' actions. Or you trust in others' ability to control your actions. You understand that? That's what it means to trust in oppression. Now there's two of you in this body that have known nothing but trusting in your oppression ever since you have been born. Your total basis of identity is your ability to control others, or your imagined ability to control them, or your imagined ability in response to your belief that others are controlling you. And it's time to confess that as sin. It's time to kill the motherfucker. Now, all of you are guilty. They just happen to be the two most prominent guilts. And because of that, God has put them and their families through hell to chastise them, to chastise the head, that the family might see the life. It's time for it to cease. Because you can bring none of that into the promise. And I'm just picking on those two as point men, because all of you are guilty of it. Do you all understand clearly what it means you cannot trust in oppression in the promise? You can't trust in your ability to control others or your imagined ability to control others. You can't trust in your imagined ability to control situations. Nor, on the other end of the scale, can you trust in someone else's ability to control you. You have to see that as ultimate death. You have to kill the baby. It is big time sin. Well, it's not any bigger than any other ones, but this is what I'm picking on now, so it's big time. Shut up, John.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Well, I do now that you're talking a little bit more.
See, both of you, you know, you've both, no matter what you've done all your lives, you've tried to be wheeler dealer. You always got a deal. You always got... And God says to you, now it's time to be free. Now it's time to be under the authority, that you might understand authority, that you might understand that every one of those acts, either positive or negative, was an act of pure rebellion, no matter how righteous you thought it was. Now I don't care if you have to pump gas, but you're both going to work for somebody else so that you get a salary, so that you get an amount of money that comes in, so that you can be free of the need to try to control the world.
It's like junkies.
They're junkies.
Yeah, there's something to having a boss that's different.
And you need to be under that authority. I don't care if it's pumping gas, I don't care if it's selling clothes, I don't care what it is, but you need to experience and be under that authority. What serveth the law? And I'm giving you law tonight in that arena, so it serveth until a seed should appear in that arena. Amen. And I don't want to hear ever again any one of your deals.
I don't care if it's radio deals. I don't care if it's insurance or condo deals. I don't want any of you to ever go in debt again for anything, either emotionally in debt, intellectually in debt, spiritually in debt,
right,
or financially in debt. Invest now. Give now everything to now. And the only way you two can learn to do that is to get a job. Maybe for the first time in your life. So that you can stop acting as a cover of air and begin to be a real cover to your wife and family, and can begin to meet the needs of this body instead of worrying about your own bullshit. So that you can give your wives for the first time in your marriage a sense of freedom, of what it means to be the bride of Christ. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Do, I hear, do any of you doubt there's a witness of the body in what I've said? I am, I my heart is torn right now. More for Judy than for me, because she's been through it longer. But for both of you. Now God is going to use this to, Satan has meant it for evil, but God is going to show us grace beyond grace through it. That we might see that enduring, and by through an enduring, we can see grace and its perfection. When it says the wife, once the Hanukkah candles, have been lit, and for us they never go out. And the wife doesn't ever have to work again.
Amen.
She can do anything she wants to, but she doesn't have to worry about support. She can be and have an arena in which she is full and capable of expressing that uniqueness that God has placed in her to benefit the body of Christ. So her personality can begin to flow and move in, and out of her shall flow rivers of living water to bless and spill over to all she touches. I don't know where all that came from. Father, we present ourselves to you, the living sacrifice. We thank you that you've brought us to this point.
Yes.
We thank you that you've brought us to this time. And now let us completely and totally apprehend the sacrifice. Let us have a readiness to revenge any disobedience where we see that we're not in captivity to the obedience of Christ. We praise you, Father, for your perfection. Hallelujah. Now we walk forth from here expectantly. We possess the land confidently that the Lord is with us and in us. And in that, we're free. Praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Take it, big guy.
Heal over.